Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate the support. If you like the show, you can share it. We appreciate that. Or you can rate the show so that the algorithms show us a little bit of love. God knows we won't get that on our own. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Big thanks to our sponsors that make the show happen. Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years in Canada and the United States. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And what it does is get you access to a high-power lawyer in your area for a very reasonable price. How reasonable? A dollar a day, 30 bucks a month. That'll get you in. It's so impressive. You can get a million things done with them. First of all, do you have a will? You need one. You don't want to die without a will in the United States of America, because then they'll get all in your business. And as soon as you thought you hated the state while you were alive, wait till you're dead and they start dealing with all your stuff and divvying it up. So you got to have a will. You have to have a financial power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, so that somebody doesn't put you on a ventilator against your will or something like that. All these documents, super important, really expensive to get done. Nobody wants to spend the money on it. But I'll tell you what, if you're a member of Legal Shield, you can reach out to your attorney and you can say, I want to come in. I want to knock all these documents out in one afternoon and be done with it. If you do that, I'll tell you what, this thing will pay itself off for the next decade. So take a look. Go over to the website that they built specifically for this show, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com, and see what you think, because not only do they have access to the Legal Shield program, but they've got information on Identity Shield. They've got information for those of us that carry handguns. If you need documentation for that, they've got it. If you run a small business, big enough to have your own business, but maybe not big enough to have your own legal department, well, there's a small business plan as well. So you're going to find a lot of things out there on the website that will help you out if you are looking for an attorney. I just like the idea of us not getting pushed around by the big guys. We can stand up for ourselves. Some retail store said they were going to do something, And then they didn't. And, you know, they said, well, too bad. And you can send a letter from your attorney. I'll tell you what, things change real quick once that happens. So use this power for good, not evil, but go over to the website, check it out, see what you think. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Also, you got to get ready. It's coming. These savages in Washington, D.C., they're going to try and kill us all. I swear to God, they're going to try and starve us out. We know that. You want to get yourself some storable food in the meantime so that you can ride out the zombie apocalypse. Those people over at My Patriot Supply were nice enough to build a landing page specific for our show. You can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and find everything that you need. You'll find great discounts. They've got good deals over there on storable food. Beyond that, though, they've got all kinds of gear that you'll need. There's quite a bit going on over there. And if you just go through the website, www.preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You'll just find the link in the description. You can click on it and it'll take you right there. Get yourself set up. If you're already ready with storable food and all that stuff, congratulations. You're ahead of 99% of the people in this country. And I'll tell you, if you're thinking about maybe taking care of your family members or friends, people close to you that live in other states, that's easy too. Just get on the website, order them food, have it sent to them. It'll show up in two big boxes and people can just grab it, open it up, store it in the, in their garage or someplace safe and keep it in case you need it. It'll last you 25 years. And look, what's the worst that can happen? You have to barter with some asshole later on and trade them some storable food for bullets. I mean, listen, not the worst thing. So get yourself ready, get yourself prepared. I feel like it's the theme of the show. Prepare with macroaggressions.com is the place to do it. Also, are you going to be in New York City for September 11th? Would you like to be? Because Billy Ray Valentine, he's got himself a party that's going on, right? He is throwing an event on September 9th. 2023, New York City. You can come on out and we're all going to be there. I will be there speaking. Richard Gage will be there, formerly of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, now Richard Gage Unleashed. You can find Richard Gage will be there. Don Jeffries, Wayne McCroy, Tony Arterburn, John Brisson, Gardner Goldsmith, we're all going to be there. Come take a look. There's a link in the description. It's called Free World NYC. It's happening the weekend of September 11th in New York City. So I'll tell you what, I've never been to New York for 9/11, but we're going this time and I can't wait. So check it out. The link's in the description. It's like $72, I think, for the ticket. You get you access to the all day thing. And then who knows? Maybe we'll go to a Yankee game following day. I don't know. I'm going. You guys can go too. Well, let's bring him on. You've heard him. He's been here a million times before. He is the host of Forbidden Knowledge News. You can catch his website. Go to forbiddenknowledge.news. That is the place where you can find information on everything Chris Matthew related. Ladies and gentlemen, from the swamps himself, Chris Matthew. What's happening?
Charlie, thanks so much for having me on. I love coming back and chatting with you. This is going to be a good time. Let's get friggin' weird.
We always get weird, but I'm telling you, we're going to get swampy weird on this one because you've done it now. Oh, Chris, you've done it now. You've gone out and made yourself a movie, a series, a documentary series that you sent. I saw episode one already. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to tell the audience in advance. I'm just going to say this. If you go to forbiddenknowledge.news, www.forbiddenknowledge.news, there is a place there in which you can, and also there's a link in the show notes for this, but you can click on it if it's easier for you. But however you get there, and you can take a look at Chris's new docuseries, at least episode one of it. I'm telling you right now, the hairs on the back of your neck will stand up when you watch this thing. Dude, what have you done? this is one of the freakiest, true, by the way, I must also preface by saying true stories, right? These aren't people just making stuff up, but true stories of what's going on in your home area of the Louisiana swamps. And holy shit, it is, I'm never going back. I don't even know where to start. Just start with that. How'd you grew up out there? You knew there was some weird stuff going on, right? You just decided you got to cover it.
Well, the docuseries started with it actually started with a psychedelic experience,
a download
that I had from a mushroom trip. That, hey man, I should make a documentary film. And it was just supposed to be like a film, a movie, not a series like I'm doing. But then I decided I cover too much weird, fantastic, fun stuff to just keep it all down to one film. So I decided to just make an ongoing docuseries, which is what it's going to be. So it's going to be the podcast and then the Forbidden docuseries just going on probably forever. Which I'm going to be traveling across the United States, covering different areas, the paranormal, weird stuff, high strangeness, conspiratorial, historical stuff, interviewing local witnesses and people and traveling and having a good time with it. But I figured what better place than to start with my first season and my first episode than my home state of Louisiana, because it is, first of all, it's known as one of the most paranormal and haunted states in the country. And it is known for its high strangeness in the mainstream. But what I wanted to find out is the stuff that most people didn't know about and go a little bit deeper into it. And even growing up in Louisiana, I had no idea to the extent, first of all, the hidden history that's there. You know, you hear about the pirates and the voodoo and, of course, the slavery, which that's going to be in the docuseries as well. That's going to be in the upcoming episodes. But what you don't hear is about the stuff that's predates even the Native American history there, which I'll get into a little later. But as far as the paranormal and weird stuff, I've heard of like a few legends, like the dog man, which is aka Rougarou, known as the Rougarou in Louisiana. And it was just mainly, I thought it was just a cautionary tale that you would tell your kids if they didn't brush their teeth or masturbated too much or something, that, you know, the Rougarou is going to come and get you. But that was the extent growing up, and it was a fun type of legend. But the more I started looking into it recently, I realized that this is the actual dogman legend. This is what the Rougarou is, and I'm hearing more accounts from across the United States. I'm having guests on that are having experiences with this dogman thing. So I come across this other witness and experiencer who I've had on my program a couple of times, and he is the focus of the high strange cryptid section of the documentary, and his name is Scott Pace, and he's had incredible experiences and encounters, as you know, and he's just this normal dude, normal hunter, not looking for any kind of notoriety. He didn't know what any of this shit was before he had experienced any of this stuff, and he was just out there, and we'll get into a little bit of the teaser of what happened to Scott, but he had an experience, and it was not just with one critter, but two legendary mythical creatures out in the swamps of Louisiana, and that pretty much cracked him open to have all kinds of other experiences. But he was really one of the main focuses of the Louisiana part of the docuseries, because hell, man, I love just high strange paranormal phenomena. And when it comes to that, cryptids and Bigfoot are some of my favorite topics. But I cover everything from the hidden history to cryptids to pirates, voodoo, paranormal activity, the dark energy, and the slave history from the area that adds to the denseness and dark history of that area as well. So I get into all that. And it was fun, man. It was fun getting it all together.
Well, I don't want to give away too much of what goes on in this because people are going to need to see it for themselves. But and you cover a variety of topics in it. But let's talk about the Scott Pace one. We'll give that one up, okay? Because we got you. Because I think when you hear about when you hear about this one, you're gonna go, get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But this is, you've told me about it. Tony Merkel, obviously, those that know, he's my partner on this show, and he has a movie out, Expedition Dogman, that you can find, I think on Amazon Prime, you can get that. And I've watched that. Same thing. Look, I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm fascinated with it, but I don't have any sort of particular knowledge about it. I've never had an experience. I'm in the audience. I just like it. When his dogman story scared the shit out of me, when he went to Kentucky and filmed everything, I mean, it was wild. I talked to Tony. I talked to his director about it. I mean, they were all amply freaked out by this whole thing. And now you go and you start talking to this guy who had an experience in a swamp. Let's tell that story, because when people, this is sort of like the perfect storm for Tony Merkel too, because it's, you know, confessionals, it's a lot of Bigfoot, and then you've got this dogman component. But these are two different characters in the Marvel universe, right? You never get them in the same film until this poor bastard goes out hunting in Louisiana and has an encounter with both of them at the same time, telepathically. Sure, on top does, of that, man. Right? Holy shit. I'm telling you, people, you gotta, we're gonna discuss it. We're gonna say, but you gotta watch this guy. You gotta listen to him. This guy isn't out smoking crack or huffing paint in some garage or anything. He's like a totally normal dude. And he had the craziest experience I've ever heard of in my entire life on anything. So let's get into this. How'd you meet this guy and what was his story?
Scott, man, he's awesome. He is just like you said, a laid back. He goes hunting. He goes fishing. He is just your normal Louisiana citizen. He goes to church every Sunday. He's a religious guy, had no idea about Dogman or Bigfoot, or let alone extraterrestrials, which eventually we'll get into a little bit later. But he, I found him from, you know, Nate from Reality Czars.
Mm-hmm.
Nate had him on because somebody else referred him to it because of his crazy experience that he was talking about. So Nate was like, you got to get this guy on. And plus he's from your home state of Louisiana. So I called Scott. I got his phone number and we immediately hit it off just because we're from Louisiana. And this dude is the friendliest dude I've ever met. And he told me about his experience. I was like, you have to come on Forbidden Knowledge News and tell me about this. And so he did, and that was one of the things that really started sparking the desire to do this docuseries and about Louisiana first, is because of this dude's experiences. But what it is he's a deer hunter, and he was out in the swamps in the wilderness near his, and he lives in the very remote area of Gonzales, Louisiana, which is south of Baton Rouge. I think it's south of Baton Rouge or east or something, but it's a very rural area surrounded by swamps and wetlands and nothing. And he was hunting for deer in this area. He has a deer blind, which is just an elevated stand that they use for hunting. And he was sitting there waiting for his dinner to pass by. And he says, all of a sudden he gets this very uneasy feeling and his rifle starts shaking. And he grabs his rifle. He's like, what the hell? And he looks out and he sees a figure that is, I forget how far out into the clearing, into the distance. And he says it's a humanoid figure. And he's like, what is that? Who is that? Someone out there? He picks up his cell phone and he takes a picture. And when he zooms in on the picture, he could see that it's definitely a humanoid figure. But all he can see is like it's covered in dark hair. He's like, what the hell's going on? So he picks up his rifle and he looks through the scope. And he says he sees about an 8 foot tall humanoid man covered in dark black hair, which is all matted and dreadlocked and dirty. And he had black skin, just black skin. And that's all he could see. But this dude was eight, like he said, he measured, had to be about 8 foot tall, massive. And then he notices that there's something else near him. He pans his rifle over to the left. And he sees what looks like, he describes it as a lanky basketball player looking humanoid with a dog's head and very long arms and claws and hair all over him, basically a werewolf, which he would describe as a werewolf.
Wonderful.
Then what happens next is he hears communication in his mind telepathically, something communicating with him. And he could tell that it is this werewolf being that says, if you don't put that gun down, I'm going to come up there. I'm going to tear apart that deer blind and kill you. And then around the same time, he hears this other voice in his head, telepathically speaking, saying, but it is not speaking with him directly. It's speaking with the dog man saying, no, he's not going to do that. He's just looking at us or something along those lines. Scott is freaking out. He doesn't know what to do. So he figures he's going to try and speak telepathically to these two mythical creatures here that that appeared before him. So he starts saying, no, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just looking at you. I was just curious. And he hears a different audible voice addressing him saying, get out of here. So he takes off. He's scared shitless, running out of the deer blind. And he says he looks behind him and he sees like two or three other dark humanoid figures following him out of there. Very tall, massive humanoid. He can't tell if they're all Bigfoots or all dogmans. But this was only the first experience of many more to come for Scott. And it did something to him. It cracked open his perception and it somehow invited these creatures into his life. Because after this experience, he started having multiple incredible encounters and experiences with these beings. It would start with something breaking into his house at night, but he would have no evidence of forced entry. His doors would be open. They would have footsteps, indentions in the floor, indentions in the carpet. He would smell this musky, musky smell. They'd have dirt all over the floors. He would see a Bigfoot peeking through his window occasionally and go outside. There'd be nothing there. He says he started having communication at times when he would be in the swamps around his house. These beings would speak to him. And he said you would very rarely get a full-on glimpse of any of these beings. He said they either appeared as shadows or as like a predator glimmer, you know, what the predator looked like in those movies.
Yep.
Or you would see eye shine at night from behind trees. Or these beings, you would actually get a glimpse of a humanoid, a hairy humanoid peeking behind trees at times, which is super creepy. But his experience has evolved. He had a limited experience with Dogman, which is probably a good thing. But he went from having experiences with Bigfoots to he eventually linked up with others who he found who were having similar experiences, not only in Louisiana, but different states. He linked up with a native tribal leader who claimed that he formed a relationship with the native Bigfoots of the area. So he goes out to, Nebraska, to visit with this guy, has some incredible, insane experiences there, finds out a new type of cryptid creature that I have never heard of. He said it could be some kind of relation to these Bigfoots, but the first time he's out in Nebraska, he sees what he calls the little forest people. And things are, the way he described them are so damn creepy. He said, you very rarely see the full figure of these things. But when you do, they're just black, little hairy people with eyes that look like spinning kaleidoscopes. And you can see them in the night and their eyes literally will spin around and change colors, which sounds like the most terrifying thing you could ever see. And you can see, he said, sometimes they'll be in the trees looking at you. Sometimes they'll come up from underground. And he had one incredible experience with a Bigfoot that they call, Stevie Wonder. They call this Bigfoot Stevie Wonder because he will poke from around trees and swing around the trees like that, trying to kind of peek at people. And he said that he's a very, like, you know, benevolent type of being. He psychically communicates with the people that have an understanding of him, like this tribal leader that he befriended. And they went out and they saw Stevie Wonder dancing behind a tree. Now, Scott, being the God-fearing man and the church-going man that he is, he started like quoting gospel quotes to these creatures when he'd go out and singing gospel verses and hymns. And he claims that they approved of it. They like enjoyed it. And they'd psychically telepathically say, oh, this is good stuff. Keep going. And he said some of them, you know, would actually display like enjoyment by dancing to the hymns he would sing. And he said there's one time that he was singing to Stevie Wonder, the Bigfoot. This sounds so fucking crazy.
I know. I know. The AI transcript of this is going to be wild.
So he's singing to Stevie Wonder, the Bigfoot. And at the same time, on each side, what he describes as mist creature, like smoke starts coming out of the ground and dancing to the hymns that he's singing. Oh, and the smoke eventually forms into physical little forest people. So it goes from this misty, smoky substance forming into these little physical forest people that are on each side of Stevie Wonder dancing to the gospel hymn that he is singing. Now, this sounds like the ravings of a madman or a lunatic, but this guy, I swear he's sober. He's not drinking. He is the most sane person you would ever meet, but he has witnesses, other people that can back this up that I've interviewed as well. So it's not just him that has these experiences. It's usually by himself, but he has gone out and had these other experiences. Everything from a Bigfoot trying to grab his cell phone out of his hand in his truck, to then eventually having encounters with what he understands as extraterrestrials, which we can get into a little bit as well.
Well, this is not the first time I've heard about this sort of stuff where somebody has an experience and then they get like tagged and they get, and then they start to have more and more. They sort of, it's like they get, I don't know.
Well, he said when they first started communicating psychically that first time, he said he felt like something popped or snapped in his brain, like something cracked open.
Oh, really?
But that's very interesting that the initiation of this communication may have changed something in his consciousness.
Yeah, for sure. I have a family friend who said, oh, our entire family, we've been followed by, we've seen UFOs our entire lives everywhere we've gone. And she's older. I think she's in her 70s now, but she said growing up she had four sisters and she said, all of us would see it. We would just, you know, during the course of our lives, no matter where we went, we would always have these experiences. So it was kind of like the family was tagged as being like, okay to, you know, like they could see it, but maybe other people couldn't, or somebody, or maybe they were like, you know, like the way we tag a whale and then track it for years and years and years to see what's going on. She felt like they were kind of tagged by these things and sort of monitored forever. Mm. I mean, she didn't think it initially, but she's like, well, given the fact that we've all seen it our entire lives and like really very few other people have had these experiences, we feel like maybe they just sort of marked our family as like, let's keep an eye on them for the duration of their lives and see what, and just sort of monitor them. But they had a personal experience with a gray that touched her husband's foot and put him into like a frozen state where he couldn't move. He was awake, but like physically paralyzed as long as that thing had was touching the bottom of his foot. It was like sending an electrical shockwave. I had the husband explain to me, because I thought I was having a heart attack, but I was awake and I was sitting in bed and this thing was touching me. And when it let go, then it kind of like, you know, so I thought she was insane. The first time I heard the story, I think anyone probably rightly would, until the husband was like, oh no. He's like, I thought she was insane too, until the one night I had the experience. And he's like, it was very real and it was very scary and it was really impossible to explain. So I've been able to kind of like recognize that, even though it sounds crazy, and I know that there are a lot of people out there just making shit up, i.e. Corey Good. But
yeah,
but you know, I mean, what is it? Is this guy out? Is he profiting from it or anything? I mean, there's no money to be made in this. All that happens is that everyone in your neighborhood stays away from you, thinks that you're insane, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he may get a little bit of you know, notoriety after people see this documentary here, but yeah. He is not looking for this stuff. He declined to do interviews recently just because he's more interested in going hunting and fishing, man.
Yeah. So it's out there, and it's very unusual. The Rougarou, right? The dog man. This is so, yeah, this is something that, I mean, I'm late to the dog man party, to be honest with you. I didn't really know it was a thing. I think the closest I got was like American Werewolf in London, watching that when I was a kid. And I was like, oh my God, that's really crazy. But you know, it's all fake stuff and none of it's real. But then you start to kind of ask yourself, like, well, what is the relationship that Hollywood has with us? You know, they do a lot of predictive programming. They do a lot of, they tell us a lot of things that are going on in as fiction, you know, disguised as fiction, but is it really all that fictional? You know, so we've had stories of werewolves for a long time. We've obviously had stories of Bigfoot and aliens and everything, and it's all fantasy. It's in the fantasy science fiction section of wherever you go, or whatever you know, place you want to go find it, it's going to be in the science fiction. Fiction being the key word, right? Not real. But is it not real? Because I know a lot of very sane, rational people, not a lot, but a few sane, rational people that have had experiences that they can't explain, that go beyond this. And again, they're not smoking crack. They're not on a 8-day meth bender and they're seeing invisible things. You know, these are sober people that aren't looking for this. It's finding them. So, you know, I don't know. Like you got into, I mean, you're the first episode. I mean, if the rest of the series is any indication of, you know, if the first episode is any indication of where the rest of the series is going to go, it's going to be wild, man. Cause you start talking about all the evidence of giants. I'd heard about this. I'd heard about the Smithsonian being involved in some fuckery with hiding the evidence of giants, but I'm curious, like why hide this? You know what I mean? Like they don't hide mammoth bones, right? We say, oh, there used to be woolly mammoths. Now they're not there. Like, why would they hide the bones of giants? Is it just too incompatible with our established religions?
Too incompatible with our established historical timeline and historical narratives and everything that's presented in academia. And that has been because it's just going to crush the narrative on so many things that these people that count on that narrative for a living wouldn't be too happy for it, wouldn't be too happy about it. But I think there's multiple reasons. Probably there may even be like some woo-woo free energy implications that connect to some of the evidence that has been recorded regarding the mounds and surrounding history there, which we can get into a little bit there. But what I focused on is the evidence that was found in these mounds that are surrounding areas in South Louisiana, which I focused on, but they're really across the Americas. But some of the new revelations about the age of some of these mounds, which I won't give anything away, is incredible. And we had Dr. Gregory Little on to discuss some of that stuff. But the most intriguing thing is the possibility that these mounds could have been burial grounds for giants. And there has been evidence that, of course, the Smithsonian, the mainstream narrative, the Smithsonian admits to finding a dozen or so 6 to 7.5 foot tall skeletons in some of the mounds, which is, you know, we have 6 to 7.5 foot people walking around today right now. So it's not that big of a thing. But if you look at the local newspaper articles of the time, which they have hundreds and actually probably thousands going from across the United States of independent people trying to excavate these mounds and independent interests that actually reported this, and they have newspaper articles stating that giants were found up to 10, 12, 15 foot tall, which is exceedingly large for any human that we are aware of in our modern times here. And that has implications that either we were all much larger in the past, that there was a global civilization of giants, or there were subspecies of humanoids that were larger than the rest, that there's evidence that these, if that's the case, they were worshipped as gods and they were revered and buried ceremonially in some of these mounds. And then there's the theories that the Nephilim theories, or the extraterrestrials coming and mating with the Earth women, because they all love the Earth women, and how that goes.
Yeah.
So, and making little giant babies, or little big giant babies. So,
yeah.
And there's also evidence that, you know, these mounds could have been prototypes for the pyramid, the great pyramids, that a global civilization were building these mounds. They had advanced construction abilities. Maybe they were giants, and that these civilizations were the foundation of future projects like the Great Pyramid and other megalithic structures, which is super fascinating because a lot of these were in Louisiana, other places, the Americas, which indicates they were much more advanced civilizations here in the United States than what we understand as Native Americans. And yeah, a long time before, that's for sure.
And, well, Graham Hancock wrote a book called America Before. It came out a couple years ago. He swung through Denver. I went up, met up with him. I might have dropped off a 5-pack of joints for him too.
Nice.
Which was kind of, you know, I'm sure he appreciated it. He was in town for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But in that book, he's talking about Serpent Mound. He's talking about all of these places. He's dating the American, the bones. He's dating back the culture, the things that they found in North America. Fuck Christopher Columbus coming over and discovering the New World. He's saying there were civilizations here in North America, in America, that area of America, 100,000 years ago.
Mm.
And that there's evidence of that. And so
there's also evidence of like ancient advanced mass cities. And these civilizations had very advanced construction skills. And I don't want to say like advanced technology like we have today, but way more advanced than we would have ever imagined for civilizations of that time period.
Sure. And you go back to Turkey and you go to Göbekli Tepe and you find that these entire cities that were buried intentionally, that Göbekli Tepe was buried intentionally. They've only unearthed, 1% of that entire place. There's still so much to be discovered. And people are asking the question, why? It lines up with Graham's timeline from Fingerprints of the Gods of 11,600 to 12,800 years ago, about these cataclysms that created fluctuations in sea level rises and global temperatures, almost flash freezing all of a sudden. So listen, there's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot of people out there that have a vested interest in not allowing alternative schools of thought. Speaking of like Graham Hancock, I mean, you could see the situations and issues he got into with Zahi Hawass in Cairo, where he refused to debate him and you know, talking about this timeline of the Egyptian, and Graham saying your timeline is bullshit. But there's so much defense of that, because when you're the head of like the Egyptology division, then you've got a vested interest in keeping the current story alive. And Graham is saying, I have questions. And Joel Anthony West, of course, same thing. They were saying, we have questions about water erosion on the Sphinx. Doesn't make any sense. You're talking about how this was a desert. I'm showing you that there's water erosion that meant that there had to have been excessive rains here. It couldn't have been a desert when this was built. So, you know, I mean, we don't know anything about our history, do we?
No. And it's much more interesting and fascinating that they would ever let on. But I'm super stoked that we have this 100th monkey effect with people coming up with more information about our ancient past around the same time. And there's going to be eventually a time where they can't deny this anymore, and where the narrative will have to shift on its head. And these new theories from these independent researchers are going to have to be taken seriously eventually, because the evidence is too overwhelming for this global civilization, advanced civilization that was populating the Americas and the rest of the globe and had the ability to traverse the globe very easily.
Yeah, we can pretend, you know, I think it, you know, for people that are, I wonder about Scott, you know, the experiencer who's deeply religious, right? He's a Christian, he's deeply religious, you know. I wonder how this plays in with his timeline that he's given in the Bible and things like that, you know, where he's now got to kind of reevaluate. Well, God, you know, how much of this stuff is true? How much of our timeline is fantasy and given to us? You know, you guys got into talking about the purposes of these mounds, the ritualistic component of it. And if that's the case, then we've got, you know, maybe we've got a little Aztec, Mayan, Olmec in us as well. Are these the people that were responsible for the buildings of these mounds, do we think?
I think so. I think that when you look at the megaliths in South America, Peru, this concentrated area of extremely advanced polygonal construction, very similar construction methods, that it was most likely the same peoples that a hop, skip, and a jump and away up. I mean, you think to the Gulf of Mexico, to Louisiana and Florida as well. There's a lot of evidence of this, of Alabama, Mississippi, that these are the same builders of these mounds. And there's probably these mounds looked extremely different a long time ago, because they, just like other cultures, were built over with the civilizations to follow that were just trying to mimic the construction methods of the previous civilizations, and they couldn't do it because it was too advanced. That's what happened initially to a lot of these mounds. They were built over by the Native Americans trying to have it reproduced, and they couldn't. So a lot of the original structure and architecture had been lost, but there's evidence showing that they were extremely advanced constructions, similar to some of the truncated pyramids that you see in Peru. So that's really fascinating. And the fact that we could have had, if you look at also Florida, there's evidence that they're finding these giant, what look like anchors that are larger than any of the modern ships could carry today, that are found offshore in the Gulf of Mexico and off the coast of Florida, and even in the mainlands, that they don't know how to specifically identify these structures, but new researchers taking looks at these saying these are ancient anchors that are like extremely massive. So, and there's some that theorize that this is what we understand as Atlantis, this global civilization.
Well, there's the Bimini Road. We know about that. There's the hot zone in Cuba. There's the Bermuda Triangle. There's all sorts of unusual scientific activity that's happened in that region. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we found out that there was a whole lot more to these cultures than what we're told. Well, I'll tell you what. You've got the ability to play the trailer. For those that are just listening to this, you might, I don't know, maybe catch if you want to catch a video version of it on Rockfin, go for it. But we're gonna, Chris is gonna play the trailer for the series, and so some of it, like I said, it's a video, so some of it will be a little bit more video centric. But I think you'll get the point.
Right on. All right, stand by. Louisiana is a magical place.
And that was Cajun country, you know?
The food's good. The ladies is fine. Just let them roll like the old folks say, c'est la vie.
So much incredible occult and forgotten history.
There's a lot to the ancient history there that we could be uncovering. Everybody is starting to like really put pieces together.
I've been writing books and doing research in the field of Native American mounds and archaeology since the 1980s. The LSU campus mounds were redated, which is absolutely bizarre. This is all very, very strange, and it's just been made more strange because all these old mounds are in Louisiana. The Smithsonian dug into over 2,000 mounds, finding 17 large skeletons.
They saw a very tall humanoid being.
We just have a rich history of paranormal type stuff. New Orleans is considered to be the most haunted city in the country.
The energy that's over the land, and that energy seems to be stuck there.
In 2019, I had an experience. It was all black, had long black hair on it, a tall creature that had a dog's head, legendary things of fiction become reality.
When he was 15, this dog man chased him through the woods. He only survived because of his dog saving his life.
Y'all may kill me today. I said, but I promise you this, I'm gonna kill at least two or three young. I said, you will for the pain of this 30-06.
It was so close that he could see down the back of its throat.
The vast swamps of Louisiana hold many secrets. From an incredibly old, forgotten history to mythical creatures.
There are no answers. There's only more questions.
All right.
Dude, I started to get a little kind of freaked out again now with him telling that story, man. He's so calm about it. And he starts talking. I'd have to check myself into the nut house after something like that happened to me. You know what I mean? But he seems relatively, I guess.
He's become super interested in it, man. And he's like, not necessarily chasing after it, but he's been interacting with this phenomena. And like I said, it's evolved. And his experiences now, he called me last week, which I've got another interview set up with him to discuss his latest experience, which I'm going to just give you a little teaser of. I'm going to sprinkle a little salt down and see. So he calls me the other night, and these experiences have been picking up and evolving. He had an experience where he woke up and his cat is freaking out, and he sees lights in his room, and there's orbs spinning around his room, like blinking and flashing, and they're like non-physical orbs just traveling around his room very rapidly. And he then sees about 2 10-foot-tall blue humanoids walk into his room, and they proceed to have a conversation with him. Now, I don't have the details of this yet, but we're going to get to this. But one other experience that he had before he had these other extraterrestrial type experiences is he was going to try and interact with these Bigfoot creatures, and it was around 8 or 9 p.m. It was dark in the middle of the swamps, and he's sitting in his truck with 2 other witnesses to this, and they saw a beam of light shoot down from the sky and a portal open up, and 2 7.5-foot-tall translucent light beings proceeded to walk out of the portal, walk in front of their truck and down a hill out of view. And this started his extraterrestrial stuff. So this is the kind of stuff he's dealing with, man.
Yeah. I think that sometimes what's beyond red pilled? What's the next step after?
Well, it makes me wonder, is there a connection? Like, is Bigfoot hanging out with aliens? Is Bigfoot an alien? Is this all some sort of overarching like trickster consciousness that is appearing as Bigfoot because that's what it wants us to perceive it as? I don't know. It's all a mystery, but it's super fun to explore.
Is it some like augmented reality that once you have that happen to your brain, it's like putting the glasses on and they live, and now all of a sudden you can kind of see what's going on in the background. You can see things that everyone else can't see. You can see, you know, Dogman and Bigfoot out having a conversation about whether or not we're going to tear this guy to shreds or not. And Bigfoot being the voice of reason, talking Dogman out of it, like, calm down. We don't have to shred everything that we see. Like,
I've heard different accounts where apparently Dogman's pretty subservient to Bigfoot. Like, he doesn't fuck around. I've heard other accounts where there have been sightings of these creatures in somewhat proximity to each other, and the Dogman seems to be subservient in some ways to Bigfoot. Maybe it's his pet. It's dog.
Pet Dogman. You know, it's fun to talk about it, and it's fun to speculate about it, and it's all, you know, and from the safety of our little studios and everything. But if I were out there, I think I might have a different opinion about it. And talking to Tony and his crew that went, now they did two, they did the Kentucky Expedition Dogmen, where they were out in the woods with the guy who had that encounter with that Tony was talking about in the trailer, about the dog rescuing him, saving him, attacking this dog man. The dog man just picked up the dog and just threw it against a tree, right? And this guy was able to just get the hell out of there as fast as he could, get to his truck and get home. And Tony's interviewing the guy, and the guy didn't want to have his face on camera. The guy was freaking out about the whole thing, and he was, so they had that experience. And then they went to a place that was adjacent to Skinwalker Ranch to film a totally different series over there, and the entire crew had paranormal experiences the whole time they were there. I asked Tony, I said, "Did you guys see UFOs?" He's like, "I saw them every night." Like every night. And then I asked the director, because I already knew what Tony had said. I asked the director separately, "Hey, did you guys see any UFOs there?" And he's like, "Oh, and we got bored after we saw some." Every night they were zipping around the skies, you could see. And I was like, "Wow, no shit." I'm like, "Take me. I want to go see this. I haven't had an experience. I haven't seen all this stuff. Maybe I would change my tune if I did have an experience. Maybe I'd be properly freaked out about the whole thing." But I don't know, from where I am right now, I'm fascinated with it. I'm interested. Have you ever had any experiences?
I've had the psychedelic experiences and meditative consciousness type of experiences, but no, I've never witnessed anything that I could say is something that was truly unexplainable. No, but I little teaser, I will be for the next season of the Forbidden docuseries, I'll be going spend some time with Ryan Burns out on the property overlooking Skinwalker Ranch. So we'll see. We'll see what happens then.
Well, that's for Tony. So good luck. Can you tell me if you see the UFOs and everything going on there? I mean, I'm interested, you know, but I wonder, like, is this people kind of were like Bigfoot, and then they were like interdimensional Bigfoot, and then it kind of turned into a joke. And it's like, well, hang on a second, though. Is it really a joke? Because wouldn't that be, we don't really understand our dimensions. We're, you know, if you're a fish, you know, they give the example, if you're a fish swimming around in the ocean, and then all of a sudden a hand comes in from down into the water and grabs you, that's like an interdimensional experience for that fish, right? Or like a hook, all of a sudden you get pulled out of your environment, you're out of the ocean, and now you're in a boat somewhere. You've just gone in, like essentially gone into another dimension, and you drop that fish back in, goes and meets up with all his other fish and says, "You're not going to believe what just happened to me." Right. And they go, "Get the fuck out of here with that." Yeah. But that's kind of like where we are, right? We're like fish in the ocean, and something plucks you out and shows you another, you know, drags you onto their proverbial boat. And then you come back and you go, I can't explain it. I went somewhere else. And everyone laughs at you and says, "You're crazy." But we're just really limited creatures, right? Like, we don't really understand. We don't know what's going on.
That's right. What Bigfoot could be, what? He could be an alien, or maybe he is a hominid humanoid being that's been here since the dawning of time, that has different consciousness abilities than us and has the ability to maybe manipulate matter or even our perception, because it hasn't been exposed to the bullshit that we have, to the frequencies and the programming and the propaganda and everything that makes us the numbed humans without these consciousness abilities that we are today. Maybe they retained all that, and they're like the sorcerers of the swamps and forests, and they have all these magical consciousness abilities to psychically communicate and disappear and go in and out of portals and communicate with aliens, you know? So that's where I'm at, kind of, with the possibilities of Bigfoot right now.
Well, what was the so I was in New Orleans for my 50th a couple months ago, and it's got that voodoo vibe, right? You know, it's known there as part of. There's a whole lot of things sort of converge in New Orleans. It's got the French culture, it's got the voodoo culture, the Caribbean culture, all this stuff. Then now, did they, when you were growing up there, did you ever hear about any sort of, like, we know about ghosts and spirits and all that stuff, and you can go to like Pirates of the Caribbean or like the haunted, you know, like all that stuff at Disneyland, and they kind of turn it into a ride and everything. But like, did you ever hear about things like Bigfoot having to do with relation to the swamp? Did you hear about Rougarou for real?
Okay, so Rougarou, I thought, was just one of the local legends. And it wasn't until more recently that I started really putting the connections together with Dogman, and that could have been what they were talking about with Rougarou, and it definitely is. But with Bigfoot, no, I had no idea that there were Bigfoots in Louisiana, especially not until recently. But when you think about it, there's so many vast areas that there is no population, that there's nothing going on there. And these areas probably haven't been explored and recharted for many years, maybe even decades, that it would be easy for these things to hide out there. But no, man. And as far as, like, you know, the voodoo and the other legends, it's very limited what you'll hear about in the mainstream as far as some of the legends that tie to voodoo and even pirates in Louisiana. They focus on just the more commercial and fun side of things. But what's coming up in the next episode is I dig into a little bit of the pirate history, some of the espionage and the pirate connections with the privateering in our governments. And when it comes to voodoo, one of the main characters that historically is focused on is Marie Laveau. And I delve a little deeper and found out that beyond her having being a voodoo priestess and possibly having the ability to read minds and all the other woo-woo stuff, that she was a very, I guess you could say, she was a very good spy. And she was involved with spycraft on political levels and of the elite families of the time. And she capitalized on her use of servants that would spy on their masters and political leaders to get secrets and then leverage for you know, money and power. So it was very interesting to find out that side of history about the voodoo and the pirates. That's going to go into the next part, as well as we're going to have our friend Corey Hughes talk a little bit about the mob history in New Orleans and the connections with JFK. So that's all going in, but we're also going to have Scott sprinkled in with the next two episodes coming out, the continuation of the Scott saga with Bigfoot and aliens.
Dude, I can't wait for that. That's that spy lady sounds like the original Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes. Yeah.
It's out there. Definitely. Out there blackmailing Bigfoot. Yeah, what's the how, so you're just going to keep going with this? I know you you filmed some over here at my place. That I think will probably wind up in it at some point. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. You can find my dumb face in Chris's documentary series at some point. I don't know. It's still getting edited out. What's the best place people to go to find you, to find this, to support your work, to get involved in not just this project, but also all the other shows that you're producing too? List off all those shows, because obviously Day Zero, the show that Corey and Lindsay Sharman and X Cubed and you and I do is on your Forbidden Knowledge News Network, but that's not all. You've got many more.
Yeah, well, the only shows that I produce is Forbidden Knowledge News, but I do promote and feature other shows like Day Zero, Understanding Propaganda, Raised by Giants, What the Frick Live. There's another one. The Quantum Guide Show, Legit Bat. Yes, all these shows we feature on our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. That's also where you can find all of our other content. That's also where you can download the Forbidden documentary for only $5. You can't get anything these days for $5 anymore. So go download that. Cheaper than a meal at McDonald's. And also you can find all of our stuff on Rockfin. Also, if you're a Rockfin premium member, you can get the Forbidden Documentary Episode 1 on pay-per-view on Rockfin right now for only $5. So that's another way you can get it. Forbidden Knowledge News on all podcast platforms, Rockfin and Rumble. And that is where you find us.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might want to add an accessory to that. You might want to hit the dispensary before you fire up a joint, before you fire up this documentary, man. It might make it even, yes. even even better because it's scary as it is. But I'll tell you what, man, this is, I can't wait for episode two. So send it my way when it's done. That's Chris Matthew, sure. Everybody. You can go check his stuff out. ForbiddenKnowledge.news is the website. Support the alternative media. God knows we need it. There's no interdimensional Bigfoot coming to help us out and sprinkle cash on all of us. We're gonna need you guys to do it yourself. So, hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression, or you can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.